AI in Action is brought to you by Aulis International, covering your business's staffing, consulting, and networking needs. Our host, Mark Kelly, brings you the leading minds in AI, sharing their story, their success, and their advice. Focusing on fast-tracking you to the top, AI in Action cuts through the hype to help you kickstart your data science career. To listen to the latest AI in Action podcast, head over to www.aulis.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Aulis podcast. I'm your host, Ben Sparks, and today we are continuing with our ServiceNow series, interviewing some of the best and brightest leaders, executives and technical talent from across the ServiceNow ecosystem. Today we are lucky to be speaking to John Becker, who is a CEO at an organization called Platcore. John will tell us more. However, Platcore are an extremely exciting, product-focused, innovative organization. They're a ServiceNow technology partner who focus on learning management application built on top of the ServiceNow platform. John is an accomplished professional. He has a plethora of experience leading mission-critical product launches and commercializations and driving change within organizations. He has a proven success in global program delivery, strategic alignment, and translating executive vision into business results. John's specific experience in mobile application is in highly regulated industries. He has also implementation experience with custom applications across a number of different sectors. He's also been involved with a variety of process reorganizations and client engagements in the public sector, retail, oil and gas, life sciences, and many more. So John, I'm excited. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate that. And I'm honored to be here, and I'm honored to be in the same company as many of your prior guests there in the ServiceNow ecosystem. It's an exciting opportunity to be able to tell a little bit of our story and to have a good conversation.
Oh, thank you very much. That's really nice of you to say. I'm sure they'll be saying the same thing about you after this podcast. So John, let's start with giving our listeners an overview of who they're listening to. Do you mind telling me a bit about yourself, your career, and a bit about your story and background?
So I began my career in early ERP solutions, which is really kind of a type of employee experience 1.0 for those of us old enough to remember. And that started with my fascination with the impact of seemingly boring things like database schemas and business rules and workflows and data properties and UI and things like that. And that was all back in the 90s. And a lot of that applies very directly to the ServiceNow ecosystem today as I sit here. But I also completed an MBA at Denny College of Business at DU here in Denver. I continued my career in a wide range of Fortune 500 companies in a really broad set of responsibilities, including like merger integrations. We got to work on a $1 billion divestiture. We did skunk work projects in really large companies, and that's actually a really fun thing to do. New product launches, operations, compliance, reporting, fraud prevention, product training globally. And there's been more for sure, but I've had a broad range of experience. And I just learned that I love problem solving. I then could thrive in a wide range of those business activities. And then later joined a managed service provider. And that's really where I got my first exposure into ServiceNow.
Amazing. So let's tell me more about that. Everybody I speak to has a different story about how they got introduced to ServiceNow. So yeah, I'd love to dig into that a little bit. Talk to me about yours.
My first introductions into ServiceNow, it came fortuitously. And frankly, I think I lucked into it. I was brought into an MSP, which was focused on those ERP cloud hosting solutions that I had earlier in my career. And ServiceNow then was going to be used inside that MSP for things like customer ticketing, a customer portal, change management, compliance audits, things like that. And that was in the Berlin release, which was like 8+ years ago. So it's been a little while. But my first real experience, though, with the community also inside ServiceNow was presenting at Knowledge 14 on domain separation. And that's really just a fancy way to say, hey, we can segregate data and processes for different customers, which is what a lot of MSPs would do. And I got to present our customer story on the Cube video channel, and that was with Jason Wohan, who was like CEO of then Cloud Sherpas and now CEO of Thirdera. But I quickly gained an appreciation for that ServiceNow community. I've been blessed to work with partners and customers that are honestly now they're really great friends, and as well as partnerships that have been absolutely amazing. Sometimes you get to partner with people for just mercenary reasons. In this instance, we actually get to partner with people we like to work with, which is super cool. Let me share just a quick funny story now, but not necessarily funny then. I was in a pretty serious cycling racing accident. I broke my neck actually 6 weeks prior to K14. the same thing that I've been, you know, working months on trying to prepare for. I got to check with my doctor. I really didn't check with my wife, but decided to go to San Francisco anyway. I had a full neck brace, couldn't really move except for some very robotic-like motions. But just feel free to Google Qubit Knowledge 14 with John Becker, and you'll see some pretty hilarious, enthusiastic eyeball movements. But having said that, talking about friends like Jason and Chris Pearson, some of the Sherpas team, they really took great care of me, literally chirping me around MK14. And I won't forget that. The ServiceNow community really has a lot of those little human moments that actually have a really good lasting impact that I don't forget. It's really important to remember those things.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And we hear so much about the ecosystem and supporting one another. But I must admit, I think that is the most wild one I've had yet. So I hope everything works out well with the speech and your neck afterwards. You've had an amazing career, and obviously you're a CEO now. During this podcast, we obviously pride ourselves on mentorship. And I think you can do so much of that through stories. I'd love to know some of your career tipping points or milestones.
Yeah, some of those career tipping points are always a fun thing to talk about. But in my fairly lengthy career, every good career tipping point tends to begin with a firing. So after implementing ServiceNow and another customer, it really lacked the buy-in, unceremoniously freed up to pursue some other interest. And why that was a career tipping point, though, it caused me to reevaluate literally everything. I evaluated like my career, where I lived, the value I provided companies and people, what I liked, what I hated, I mean, who I liked and who I hated, what type of orgs I liked or hated. You get the idea. Of course, while all this was going on, though, the bills kept coming in. So I thought I'd start consulting around ServiceNow. And I had a pretty solid grasp in ServiceNow. And it was also just world-class at solving problems through tech anyway. So it naturally worked together well. So that particular career tipping point has been an amazing gift. It really opened my eyes to a little bit more of the potential that I had to actually impact things. And frankly, it changed my perspectives a lot, especially after working in a lot of Fortune 500 companies. It was so easy just to get complacent, settle into that cushy job, find that great office and great company, blend into the walls and become visible, cashing a great paycheck, which is great. But all of that together and just the invisibility of it all, it became death to me. I just couldn't accept it and wanted to, you know, take some other risks that were out there. And I just lived for the ability now to just, you know, impact my customers, society, the industry at large, and certainly my team.
And I love that. And it sounds like there's so much there about the value and obviously the mindset that you brought to the table there. I think it's very easy for people to think that senior people have always been senior and there's not a story behind that. But that's awesome that you've jumped into that. I would notice one of your blogs and presentations about the overview of the learning re-evolution. Talk to me a bit about that and why that you feel that's needed.
Yeah, the learning revolution is an interesting thing. Learning software is and has been fragmented for literally 20 years. It's amazing at how many learning solutions there are out there. And we've seen customers that they literally have hundreds of learning vendors out there. And the irony is that this often really just limits the growth of their learning programs. I mean, the systems are actually limiting their capabilities. A lot of them have some really structural problems, such as we have some challenges with poor reporting in the industry. And this has been going on for decades. This isn't a new thing, even right up to today. And that means that people can't actually validate their learning budgets and the impact that they're having because they can't report on this and actually demonstrate the value. So it's a really challenge there for reporting, but it's also super difficult right now to find the training you need. We want to be able to allow people just to get what they need and they can move on with the rest of their day. But what's happening right now is there are a wide range of learning sources, whether that's entire catalogs or different data that's out there that's inundating you all the time with information. And it's really hard to sift through all that and find out what's impactful. And also, like most learning systems, truly are silos. They're just inflexible. They require ongoing maintenance and support. And learning needs to change, but those systems don't. So as customers grow, companies grow, they perpetually change their learning systems to find something that's going to meet their needs. And even about 2/3 of L&D leaders today, they're looking to change their systems. And this is going on perpetually. What's happening is that looking for the perfect LMS becomes this never-ending process. And frankly, it doesn't exist. So what you're starting to see is this just means there's a ton of churn in this industry. And companies are always just implementing some type of new system. And the resources are focused on learning systems rather than actual employee training needs and the outcomes that we could actually impact those people with. So the learning revolution for us is actually maybe slightly different than some other people think, but the basics are going to matter now and forever. And However, we just believe the learning systems need to be adaptable to changing needs. Just like 2020 in the pandemic threw everybody into a completely different mindset overnight. It was absolutely breathtaking. But we also don't believe that ServiceNow's technology can allow us to change learning in a myriad of ways. So for example, like AI can sift through literally thousands of courses and sift for intelligent recommendations and then present that to learners in a very powerful way. It's also an incredibly flexible framework that allows us to be able to change and adapt to meet companies' needs, even as they change. So you don't have to throw out your system just because your business changed. And it's really important for us to be able to provide that value there for sure.
Thank you so much for that overview. That's it's really interesting. When we look at Platcore as an organization, I think there is a great amount of companies out there that are very innovative, more product-led, technology-led versus the general sort of more enterprise or implementation-based partners out there. I'd love to know more about the Platcore product and how it adds value to your customers.
For sure. As we've talked about, Platcore is a product company. We're product-led. We're led by our customers in what they bring to us and how they tell us that they want to use the system. Core is certainly product-led. We're very different than a services partner. We don't do a lot of the implementations. And even with our own product, it's very easy. But we have other people that come in and do that for us as well. We partner with a wide range of people there. But how Platcore, the product, adds value is like we're able to leverage ServiceNow technology to really change the learning environment completely. We absolutely nail the basics of a learning management system. And this is like reporting or a great interface, robust training automation platform. But on top of that, we leverage the ServiceNow platform to make learning both more efficient and engaging. We're experts at both learning and the ServiceNow platform, which is really convenient. We're also continually just applying new capabilities that are coming to the market from ServiceNow to learning systems. So I mentioned learning budgets a moment ago. We work really hard to give learning programs the ability to defend and grow their budgets. And you hear constantly that our reporting platform, which is actually based on the ServiceNow reporting engine, is world class and even top 10 of any LMS provider. And there are literally hundreds out there. So our LMS offers some really reliable data across the enterprise, all in real time. But understanding the value of the learning program is really just the first step in increasing the investment in learning. That can improve the well-being and growth of your employees. And because of our partnership with ServiceNow, our time to value, frankly, is just unmatched. We can be live on your existing ServiceNow instance within an hour. And that is ridiculous. And it just doesn't happen. Yeah. And even what this we're hearing from our customers is that they've actually said they have not had a better experience in installing and integrating a major piece of software. And some of that is our tight relationship with ServiceNow and how they download that into their existing ServiceNow instance and being able to pull that in. We also just have a unique capability to automate training. And we've been putting training in the flow of work for a while. We actually hear a lot about vendors that are talking about that even today. But we've been uniquely able to realize that vision. We actually don't talk about it that much because we don't toot our own horn maybe as much as we should. We've been helping customers build out learning into their existing business processes for the last 4 years. And we offer that just the ability to build on our code and our processes, our data tables, our APIs, et cetera, to really create pretty much anything that they want within that platform. And certainly we're proud of our out-of-box solution, but just having that extra configurability to their needs. So the solution today actually is going to continue to be your solution tomorrow. And just reconfigure that system as your needs change. So the system honestly we've created just continues to adapt to your changing business needs. And then we just always wanted to break that industry cycle of churn every few years. It's not great for the people that are bringing in those learning solutions, and it's really hard on the companies to have to undergo that type of change constantly. So as an example, our very first customer about 4 years ago, they're still with us, and we're very proud of that fact.
As you should be. I'd love to zoom out a little bit. We are hearing so much about HR within ServiceNow and how the platform is evolving. I think that's underpinned by the visibility of it and the content in Knowledge 21 recently. I'd love to know a little bit more about how your view on how the platform's evolving and maybe why and how.
Yeah, ServiceNow is building functionality, and we see this in lots of different areas, not just HR, but they're starting to move away from merely HR or IT ticket management. stuff. Obviously, it's a very robust platform. It has capabilities to build a ton of stuff. ServiceNow's sweet spot is, you know, being able to continually refine the operations or the workload side of HR or an entire company for that matter. And that's really, truly what they're world-class at. Your folks, they're trying to position themselves as that hub of other business platforms, or as Bill McDermott would say, platform of platforms. And this gives them the ability to network with a ton of different HRIS platforms, or frankly, any other platform, you know, for that matter, including other learning platforms, truthfully. There's a lot of stuff that they can do based on their integration capabilities. We're seeing them start to move up the application chain just a little bit into some other areas which are starting to look like HRIS Lite and some other things in there. So it's an interesting evolution to watch to see where ServiceNow, you know, ends up at. You know, are they going to focus more on the workflows and those things, which they are unmatched in any industry? They're absolutely incredible at that. Or are they going to start to move up and then start to compete with those other platforms as well, so they can integrate with them, but they can also have some of the functionality based on the existing ServiceNow platform? Personally, I'm hoping they stay with the workflows. And you know, from my perspective, we love the fact that ISVs tend to be subject matter experts in a lot of those other areas, and they're really able to extend that enterprise in the upper app layers. But ServiceNow is starting to move up in those areas. And it's a time that's actually an inflection point also within ServiceNow, as far as how are they going to really go to market? Are they going to go to market with workflows? Or are they going to market with like full suite products?
As mentioned before, Platcore, a very product-driven organization, very technical. What is your advice for a successful product integration? And I'm thinking through the lens of if you were to sit in front of a peer, a C-suite level peer, giving them some top tips on what best practice should be, what would be the key things that came to your mind?
For sure. First and foremost, learning projects are only tangentially about the technology. And this is coming from a technologist. I love tech. I live and breathe that stuff. But learning projects really are how you define, solve, and drive change in the organization. So in short, people are going to bring that project along, not the other way around. So these aren't going to be tech-driven projects. They're going to be people-driven projects to drive that change. And it's one of the reasons why PORS implementations tend to be pretty exceptional. We just have that technology solution to get going fast. Gives a lot of flexibility to focus on that org change management and better migrations and even cool go live parties. We all like those. But if you're under the gun constantly, as technology is sometimes difficult and painful to implement, and we've seen 12, 18 months LMS is just tough. But those types of long, lengthy implementations, you can almost rest assured change management, project success, all that stuff is quickly forgotten as you get into the slog of just trying to get that stuff together. But if you really have a people-led change initiative and the tech sits nicely within that, that will ultimately lead to a good outcome for everybody, where they actually get the value out of the platform. And that's what we want for every single customer, for both ServiceNow perspective, but also the Platcore perspective.
You've obviously gave us an overview of your career previously. As we come to a close, I think looking back, what would the younger John give yourself some key pieces of advice if you were doing it all again?
Ben, the younger John wasn't a great listener, so we'll...
Neither was the younger Ben, don't worry.
There's a few things, and this is one, it's hard to say, but after a while, a little history behind you, you have some thoughts that would have helped me a lot, 20 years ago. Really, just three things. The first is really don't drive quite so hard to be a bull in a china shop. And I just talked about project success, but if a project is like a week late, the world won't end. And you have to just watch the collateral damage that you're having around people when you're driving so hard to be successful. And the second is really tightly related to that. People are more than human resources. We talk a lot about human resources. It makes me snicker just a little bit. But you got to remember to actually see the human side of people, not just the resource side of people. And that's something I still tell myself constantly. It's really important to be able to keep that in mind. And then the last one, this is after a long journey along the way, but just keep perspective and just enjoy that journey. It sounds great, but it's also super hard for like a type A person to listen to. But having said that, I'm trying all the time to be better at that every single day.
John, I think that's fantastic advice, and definitely some in there that I can resonate with myself as well. John, this has been amazing. Thank you. You've given us such a good overview of Platcore, why it's so exciting, yourself, and also some of the industry trends and how you're adding value. It's been amazing. Just before we say goodbye, is there anything you'd like to add?
First and foremost, Ben, thank you for the opportunity to be here. It's exciting to be in the industry and in the ServiceNow ecosystem. And obviously, you guys are part of that. We're part of that. And I've said it before in a number of areas, but the ServiceNow ecosystem, plus the partners and the amazing people in that, plus the customers, it's absolutely breathtaking. And it's an honor to have this type of a journey in what I hope is a once-in-a-career type opportunity to work with ServiceNow and partner with them and learn space. And we're grateful to be able to do that. Thank you for your time as well, Ben. I've enjoyed being here. And again, I'm honored to be in the same company with the other people that you've had as guests in the past.
John, right back at you, buddy. This has been a great, amazing one. And yeah, I know people get a lot from this. Thank you very much. Appreciate you sharing.
Sure. Thank you.
AI in Action is brought to you by Aulis International, covering your business's staffing, consulting, and networking needs. Aulis offer an exec search program. Aulis can help you discover how data science and AI can transform your company. With our unrivaled network of C-suite executives and senior AI professionals, we offer retained search services across the US and Europe. For more information, contact mark@aulis.com. Get the Aulis advantage. Become a member of the Aulis community and enjoy some of the following. AI meetups. Once a month, our community gathers to listen to some of the leading experts in the world of data science and AI. Our speakers come from all over the world, including Dublin, Boston, and Frankfurt. We also have our AI mentors. Our experts will provide mentoring to Aulis members. And don't forget our AI in Action podcast. Each week we have guests from all over the world talking us through their education, career, and more. Become an Aulis member and get the Aulis advantage. For more information and to sign up for our newsletter, log on to www.aulis.com. That's www.aulis.com. Aulis International, empowering through AI.